all at some time have the tendency to doubt ourselves, thus drawing back and drawing back from doing God's work. But we need not doubt or become the surprise when the Eternal calls us to step out in faith and undertake any task, whether it be keeping the feast or whether it's also doing some work, some task in his work, which we may feel that we are not able to pursue. And we say to ourselves, we are not qualified so as to undertake the particular task. And that tends to be his standard of, I would say, operating procedure. But he gives us the help. And he does it so that you and I, though, will lean more on him, but less on ourselves. Does that mean that we would not make errors? No. It means you and I probably will. But instead of being discouraged, we will view them as challenges, part of the learning curve, and that we will go on to greater things. And often we look at a task and think that there's no way we can do that. But hold on there. We are looking through the wrong end of the spiritual telescope. And we are viewing ourselves instead of the Eternal. You're looking for a topic. Rise to the challenge. Rise to the challenge that we may come before us. When the Eternal God called Joshua to take the place of Moses, he promised him something there in Joshua chapter 1 verse 5. Joshua chapter 1 verse 5. He says, as I was with Moses, he said, I will be with you. Joshua chapter 1 verse 5. Now if the Eternal promises to be with you, and he does, no maybe about this, then that is all you and I need. And his strength is actually showcased through our weakness, as Paul testified back in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 9. What did he say in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 9? He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made what? Perfect in weakness. And most gladly, therefore, he said, will I rather glory in my infirmities? Why? That the power of Christ may rest on me. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Whatever ingredients we lack in the real realm, we can withdraw from an account, from our account, I would say, in the spiritual realm. Be therefore strong in the Lord. In other words, be empowered through our union with him and draw our strength from him. Hence, we were able to rise to the challenge, knowing that strength that is going to be provided for us is boundless might that God is going to provide. And then we look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. What did it say there? Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we may ask or even think, according to what the power which works in us. Hence, let us rise to the challenge, knowing that God's power and boundless might will be provided. So from where do we draw this power? The ultimate source, God Almighty. And if God is for us, who can be against us? And we are empowered and equipped as we work with him and so desist selling ourselves short. Armed therefore with his might, we have more capabilities than we can think. So, we are able to do a lot more than we have done in the past. So let's rise to the challenge. Let us put our confidence in the eternal and cease doubting ourselves. Cease even listening to others who may feel that we're not able or capable of doing X or Y. But be cognizant of God in the process. As we focus on Psalm 37 verse 5. Psalm 37 verse 5. What does it say? Commit your way to the eternal. Trust him. And what would happen? He will help you. Psalm 37 verse 5. And as we will come to eagerly realize, God does not choose losers, but he chooses winners. We are all winners. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. But you are, Mr. Hampton went through this, a chosen generation. We didn't choose ourselves. God did. Not only that, a royal priesthood. We all are going to become priests, kings and priests. You've heard Mr. Hawkins even refer to that. A holy priesthood. A holy nation, but not a peculiar people. Not that we are strange, but we are God's special possession. He has consecrated us. He has set us apart, each and every one of us. There's none that we can tie to what it would say to failure, anyone that God has called. And that you should show forth the praises. And by praises, we are looking at excellencies, as far as God is concerned, virtues that he'd be placing us. We have the eminent qualities that he would be inspiring us to go on to do. Therefore, let us not draw back. His own special people. What it combines? It combines the phraseology which is found in Exodus chapter 19 verse 5. I cite some of these here. Isaiah chapter 43 verse 21 and Malachi chapter 3 verse 17. Praises are what I call excellencies, virtues, eminent qualities. So do not retreat by pulling back from going God's way. We may stumble and we might have fallen, but God will pick us up. Refuse, therefore, to retreat. Has all the gloom and the doom in the news and all around you caused you to become fearful and so you draw back? Even what the idea of what I will say, people putting you down cause you to draw back. You didn't. Remember what the eternal's word declares back there in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. And when we look at this faith is not really coming from us, but coming from God. Once we are drawn on God's power, his Holy Spirit, which is, as I would commentate, the seventh abundant fruit of God's Spirit. But if anyone draws back, what he says, my being, my soul, has no pleasure in him. God calls you to a duty and a task. You may not be fully equipped, but you know as you go on, you can stumble, you can fall, but he's going to help you. He's going to give you that power to go on and correct those errors that you would have been making. So go forward as opportunities are not behind, but they are before us. Remember that. And once we put our faith in Jesus Christ, it reminds us that no one is behind, or sorry, I should say beyond God's reach. None of us are beyond God's reach. God can turn our life around, as he did with the children of old. Take a moment when you read Isaiah chapter 51, Isaiah chapter 51, verse 1 through 4. I'm using the New International Version. It says, "Sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child." We say, "Shout for joy." Why? "You who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband." And as he said, "Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen those cords and strengthen your stakes. Drive them down. For you will spread out to the right hand and to the left. But do not be afraid. Rise to the challenge. And you will not suffer shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth. I remember no more the reproach of your widowhood." Fellow begotten children of God's family, Satan will endeavor to plant all kinds of fear in your mind about things that are not even likely to happen. And he will tell you that your children, for instance, are going to be lost. Quote. That because, let us say, cancer or Alzheimer's or heart disease runs in our family, what will happen? You too are going to get it. But his goal, Satan's goal, is to do what? To stop us dead in our tracks. Don't hold to that. Because he knows. He knows God's plan for you. And he knows that that plan is to spread out to the right and to the left. He may tell you, "Don't worry, to go up to the face for that matter. COVID is up there." Hey, we're going to listen to God or to Satan? Though God says, "Come out." So no pulling back. And how long will this attack last? You may ask. At least as long as the longest stand you have taken against Satan in the past. What can you do? Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Remember what is recorded there in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. In the New International Version, he said, "For I know the plans that I have for you." That was God declared. Plans to be defeated? No. To prosper you. And moreover, not to harm you. Do we believe God? Plans to give you what? Hope. There is hope. All of these feast days, they have hope in them. And not only that, there is a future. Remember, I told you, we call you a chosen, your royal priesthood, and he has consecrated us. So rise to the challenge. Rise to the challenge that before you. We therefore need, as Ephesians chapter 6 verse 13, Ephesians chapter 6 verse 13, in which the New King James Version encourages us. I know Miss Hampton said he would be going through in this one. It says, "Take up the whole armor of God, the panoply, the entirety, not live this piece and that piece and no more, the entirety. That you may be able to do what? To withstand the evil day." And we have to stand squarely, therefore, on God's word. And refuse to pull back. Go forward with God. Especially many of those of us who have gone in now to the ILP. But not only those in the ILP. All of us. Let us use God's word to thwart Satan's plan. He wants to infect us. And he wants to infect us with a grave, you talk about COVID, but a graver virus than COVID, the virus of sin. And holding us back in doing good and doing God's work. Let us therefore step out in faith and do God's work. Remember, faith comes from God, the seventh abundant fruit of his spirit, his power that he's going to give us, infuse in us. And he can refuse us, as I say refuse, refresh us, not refuse. God wasn't even going to refuse us. Refresh us, the Satan would want to destroy us, but God is going to refresh us. And replenish us. But moreover, he's going to revive us when we start like the want to flag. But we must turn to God in faith. Turn to God in faith. Step out in faith, even to go to the feast. It is not that we do not know this. It is that we keep forgetting it though. And thus need to be reminded of it. And God can utilize each of us. Yes, the same eternal God who worked through Moses, Esther, Deborah, and Paul, he works today through imperfect people. If you are perfect, I don't know. God won't tell me that. But I know I'm imperfect. But I'm trusting in God to perfect me. And that's what you all can do as well. So we all are imperfect. But you know, he can give us the victory. He can give us the victory in place of defeat. Which Satan wants. And he would hurrah, you know. No, he's not going to be able to. And turn last year's humiliation, let us do that into this year's celebration. All the great achievers in God's word, you can say, have one thing in common. They had one thing in common, and so too we would have one thing in common. They were just ordinary folks, but they took risks. They took risks in obedience to God. They believe him. Do we? And will we? Nevertheless, what happened? They ended up doing amazing things. Listen. God hears our prayers. Don't doubt that. I don't care who we are. And can turn us around like he did for Esther, Deborah, Paul, and even Moses. But can you imagine trying to fill Moses' shoes? God had used him to dry up the Red Sea. To wipe out the Egyptian army. To receive the Ten Commandments there on Mount Sinai. And not only that. To feed, lest you forget, millions of Israelites every day rise to the challenge. I can hear Moses who's saying, I may not be able to. God said, no, Moses, you have to do that. I am behind you. Just as he says, I'm behind you all. Go to the face. Hold on to my way of living. You're going to hear, I'm going to be inspiring many of the speakers. And of all places He was feeding all of these millions. You know where it was? In the wilderness. Where was the food? Huh? Wilderness, you asking me to do that? I think to hear Moses saying that, rise to the challenge. He did it, though. God's help. God's power. How would you like to follow then someone like that? The thought of it must have shaken the one who was going to be taken over from him, Joshua, and shaken him to the core, to his core. But God rescued him. That is Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. The New King James Version. What did he say? What he heard? He said, no man shall be able to stand before you, Joshua, as God told him. Same thing God is telling each and every one of us. He says, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. God cannot lie, as we know back in Titus. Impossible for him to lie. And this is therefore echoed to us. Rise to the challenge. And not further too, he said, I will not leave you, or will I forsake you. Again, God cannot lie. He's the same yesterday and forever. He's no respecter of persons. It's actually, I think, it's 10:34 stated. If we have favorites, I'm sorry. God doesn't have those type of favorites that we try to engender in mind. Everybody becomes his favorite once you obey him. Once Joshua heard these words, what happened? He had confidence. He had confidence needed, therefore, to pick up from where Moses left off. Do we as well? And God's word says back in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, using the English Standard Version, walk by faith and not by sight. Many of the things that we may be seeing, people, we don't know how much within them God knows. If you're fearful of leading and stepping out, step out. Do it in faith. God will lead and guide you, as he says in his word. No mighty obstacles are before us. Walk by faith. Let me look at this idea of walking. Walking is what I call a metaphorical reference. And it's to the way one conducts his life. Or her life, for that matter. And we still use it, you know, today. You ever hear the term, all walks of life? Oh, yes. And that is to mean what? A variety of cultures. And not only that, lifestyles as well. So, never forget God's trusted promise to us. As we step out in faith in keeping his feast days, I recall the sage words, I'll be with you. Always, not sometimes, you know. Always. To the end of the age. And we know that very well as we look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. The devil does not mind us speaking words of faith as long as we do not take steps of faith. He doesn't want us to take the steps of faith, but leap out. Rise to the challenge. And so trust God as you move on. And step out in that faith. And when he says something to us, it's always for a good reason. When the eternal God tells us to do something, hey, he will give us the strength. He will give us the resources to do it. Sometimes I would hear people say, but he cannot do that, you know, so and so better than he is. Forget it. forget it. You don't know what God is trying to do. I could imagine some there back in Israel were saying to, "Oh, Joshua, I don't think Joshua can handle this. You're kidding? Who was behind him?" What is God asking us to do? To step out in faith and to perform the task he gave us. Remember I said that is the seventh abundant fruit of God's power, the infuel, the spirit, power, the energy, the force that he is going to help you to accomplish whatever it is as you rise to the challenge. As a leader, each of us will be called upon to make decisions regarding relationships. But remember this, if God is for us, hey, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. That regarding our relationships as well, the time values, our opportunities, money too, or even disputes. And our decisions will show up on the bottom line. There in the clear light of day of leadership will be judged. And there is something else we need to know. In that realm, it takes longer to recognize quote brilliance or quote stupidity. Because we are forced to lead for long periods of time without the benefits of knowing if we made the right call. But once we trust God, hey, don't worry any longer. I like to view it from the agricultural standpoint. By the time our crops start coming in, you know, it is too late to change the agricultural procedure that we have set out. And we have to wait until the next season of planting. And when it comes to leadership, hey, uncertainty is a quote permanent part of the progress. Anyone who tells you that he leaves and he is certain about everything, so I say question that person. It never though goes away. Furthermore, uncertainty is not an indication of poor leadership. No way. Whoever thinks that way, sorry. It underscores though the need for us to overcome it. It is the environment in which good leadership is most often discovered. As a leader, you may think that you should always know what to do. But the reality, there will be a few occasions when you will be absolutely certain. But you know what? You have traced back from the time that you have made certain errors and you have corrected those errors, you know, have gone forward. There was that period of uncertainty. It is why King Jehoshaphat, you see him as a success, but yes, he prayed though. He said, "We do not know what to do." I imagine. He said, "Close to God. But we are looking to you, God, for help." Do we? And will we? 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12. If God is for us, who can be against us? Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Place your confidence in God. Not any man. I don't care. And since we will be called on constantly to make decisions, and sometimes with limited information, our goal should not be to eliminate uncertainty, but to develop the ability to trust God and be courageous and clear, be clear in spite of it. Again, if God is for us, who can be against us? Rise to the challenge. It's not our job to remove uncertainty, but it is our job to inspire clarity, faith, and progress in the midst of it as we become committed to trust and have faith in God. I'm not using this here loosely, by the way. I know what I'm saying. I have been in a situation, for instance, not using my experience as the experience, right? But just giving you an idea. I was called on to become the very first person as Saints Primary Education Officer. Never had the training in going out supervising the teachers. And by the way, we are not talking about 5 and 10 teachers. I'm talking about there were 100 schools, and multiply that by the number of teachers that you can find in each of the schools. It was said to be a 7-year project, and it was completed in 4 years. To that, the Organization of American States gave me a scholarship, which up to the day I don't have that scholarship. But to tell you this, none of the schools had any equipment whatsoever. But at the end of that 4 years, every school was equipped with equipment. Me? Not me. Scarred. And I went around the school. By the way, I didn't have much transportation. My transportation was walking as well as using bus. Sometimes, occasionally, I would get someone give me a ride. Still, I had to take teachers in 11 parishes and train them. That was not the end. I still had to get in and do syllabi so that every school would be able to have that syllabi and know where we are going. And also curriculum. And that would be lessons whereby that some of the teachers who would not be able to teach science and frightened for science would be able to. To that end, the Eastern Caribbean benefited. Professor King, he took the model that I did and he took it to the Eastern Caribbean. It was a success. Again, me? No. God. Uncertainty, was stepping out certain. Oh, yes. What we can do, remember, we will be learning from the past ones in God's word. And we are, as we are learning to become, as I would say, leaders. Recall Moses, he passed on the torch to Joshua. And when we are leading, we don't hold it to ourselves. We try to involve others. Who care, though, to be involved? Because some, they not want to be involved. At the time then, a lot of things had changed. But for 40 years, Joshua had been taught to navigate and survive in the wilderness. But no. It was time for him to enter, not in the wilderness or stay in the wilderness, get up there in the promised land. Excuse me. What worked in the wilderness did not necessarily work in the promised land. You have to understand that. I can hear Joshua's thoughts. You know, I know a lot about wandering, but not much about any warfare, Eternal. So Eternal God told him, As you would see in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 and verse 9. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 and verse 9. What he told him. He said, look, be strong and be courageous. You see, as leaders, the promises of God's blessing and the great responsibility he has given, for instance, Joshua, and he would give us. Being prosperous, as he discovered, not only that Joshua was prosperous, but he was successful. The principle is centered, or I should say better, is central, let me put it better, to all spiritual effort and enterprise, namely the deep understanding of the application of scripture. And we have to look at it at all times. You may not get it at first, the second or the third, but continue with it. And this assurance has always been the staying sufficiency by God's servants. Let me look at, for instance, Abraham. I'm just going to cite case. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. When you get home, you can look at it. You think? Moses and his people, back at Exodus chapter 14, verse 18. Isaiah, for that matter, another great guy. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Not to exclude Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 7 through 8. Why should the Eternal tell Joshua to be strong and courageous? Because he must have felt anxious at everything about his new situation. Weak of uncertainty. In other words, smell of uncertainty. The only thing Joshua knew for sure was that God had said, in Joshua chapter 2, verse 9 through 11, using the New American Standard, go. So Joshua commanded the people, saying, prepare yourselves. And that's what we all have to do. We're going to be leaders. We've got to prepare ourselves. He said, for within 3 days, you are to cross this Jordan. Obviously, faith was factored in. And possessed the land. He rose to the challenge. Will we? Just don't let we just and say, hey, that's what happened with Joshua. No, bring it back to your own selves. Can you imagine the people's thoughts? I can think of the question. But Joshua, how are you going to get over on the other side? They look at the problems and say, hey, I didn't think we can get there, you know. I can think of start accusing Joshua of certain things as well. And you know what Joshua answered? He said, look, I tell you, when we arrive over on the other side, just be ready to move out. Are you getting the picture? As the leader, you will always be having some little element of uncertainty. You may be uncertain as to many things. And especially when you go into new territory. But you can never afford to be unclear or in doubt as to your calling, to your vision, and your ultimate victory. I know of that. And from whence does such confidence come? God's promise. I am with you. But we must wait and we must prepare ourselves, trusting in God, yielding ourselves to God. And John was a typical example, more so Jesus Christ. The Bible says, after John was put into prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming, "The time has come. The kingdom of God is near." As we find in Mark chapter 1, verse 14 through 15. For the average minister takes about 3 years to prepare his ministry. And that may last him 30 years or even more or so. But Jesus did the reverse. Jesus took 30 years to prepare for a ministry that would last just over 3 years. Think about that. What is the point? The quality of our preparation determines the quality of our performance. That's why I would always give kudos to the ILP. The world's greatest pianist, they invest hundreds of hours in practice before a concert. Don't take my words. Ask Mr. Michael Law and Mr. Scanterbury and Elena. And that is because they know those grueling hours of preparation will allow them to give their best performance. They will be ironing out the chinks as they go on. And so too in the lives of a Christian. So why are we condemning a Christian or a fellow brother or sister? World champion boxers do not become champions in the ring. They are merely recognized in the ring. But their court becoming is as a result of their daily routine. Something important is occurring at each stage of our development, fellow begotten children of God's family. I beg of you. For example, God can introduce you to someone today, and that person will play a major role in your life 20 or 30 years from now. I know a certain gentleman, not fair to call his name, Sarno Hampton, back in 1982. As I always say, much of what he had taught me had helped me to remain steadfast. But if you are in a hurry, you may not stop long enough to connect with the eternal and all the good things that he has for us. Think what a loss that would be. Waiting also reveals the weakness in our plans. Have you not looked back and said, "Thank you, Lord, for saving me from such or from that"? Each chapter and season of life is a benefit. And I would say, I'm not going to wipe my nose or anything with this, please. Don't get worried. Looking for my handkerchief that I had in my jacket, but oh, find it. Excuse me. Yes, each chapter, each season of life is a benefit and a product, if only you will look for it. You see, before Christ launched his ministry, what we have read in Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and not only that, in favor with God, not man. Yes, man had come at the end, but God came first. Jesus understood, no doubt, the value then of timing and training. So we should as well. He was willing to wait and prepare himself. And you and I must too. If one is going to be a leader, one must not be in the habit of condemning oneself. You know, we are always ready to condemn ourselves. I can't do this, I can't do that. Now if I do that, no, don't condemn yourself. Stop condemning yourself. God says in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25, I am he who blots out your transgressions. For my own sake, I will not remember your sins. When God says he forgets your sin, and you insist on remembering it, you know what it's like saying? Your standards, God, my standards, God, are higher than yours. That's what we are saying. We may not say openly. And that is akin to idolatry. The word of God says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And in the Old Testament, when someone sinned, you know, they brought this lamb and they took this lamb to the priest. The priest would take it, shed the blood on the altar, and he would do it as payment for sin. And once that was done, the record was expunged. And the issue was settled. But you say, but I don't feel forgiven. Hey, look, forgiven comes by faith, not by our feelings. And as long as you live by feelings, Satan has a weapon he can use against you at every turn. And you say, but what I did was so wrong. As long as you truly repent of whatever you have done, it is pardonable by the eternal God. And you say, but Satan keeps bringing it up. He must. Why? Because he's an accuser. You don't understand that. That's why it's bad for us to keep accusing one another. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. But notice how you and I overcome the accuser. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. It says, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. That's where we have to set our sights. And not only by the word, the testimony. Next time Satan accuses you, say, I'm glad, Satan, you brought that up. And then tell him what the blood of Jesus Christ has accomplished on your behalf. If you do that, what is he going to do? Learn from your failure. Grow stronger through it. Use it to bless others. And move on with your life and stop condemning yourself and others. Rise to the challenge. Remember Romans chapter 8, verse 1. I use in the New Living Translation. There is no condemnation to those who belong to Jesus Christ. None. Can you imagine a nation without a leader? Everybody want to be a leader? No, got to be a leader. A workplace without a boss? An army without a general? What peace then? And what joy? No, it will be chaotic. You see, fellow begotten children of God's family, structures, or I should say, structure creates what? Chaos? No. Order! Only too many of us want to be leaders. Oh, something going to be wrong. Without it, though, the structure, no progress can be made. That is why condemnation must be watched, and must be watched most carefully and seriously. And that is why you do not park your car in a kitchen, or you don't go sleep in a furnace. To this end, learn to respect those in authority over you. I don't care who they are. We are coming up to the feast. We're going to have people who are going to be in charge of X, Y, and Z. Please, please, hear them. I don't care your brilliant ideas that are coming over. No, hear them. You know, one thing I can't tolerate is disrespect. Honor those who have lived longer than you. They might not live longer than you, but they are in authority. Listen to them. You will grow. God is watching. Until you learn to take orders, you will never be qualified to give them. I learned that. Again, back there in Worldwide Church of God, rise to the challenge. Jesus understood this. He was the Son of God. He didn't propel himself over God. And he knew more than any other human being, yet he honored the authority of government and power. When the Pharisee asked him his opinion on paying taxes, recall how he answered in Mark chapter 12, verse 17. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Are we speaking words of doubt about our organization, or trying to rip our organization, to find all other little pieces and digs as the organization? Watch out. Are we belittling those in authority over us? I tell you, and I beg you, cease such now. True. Remember, they are not perfect. I don't think I'm perfect, I need to tell you that. Perhaps that is why you can find that people not really tolerate you if you rebel against every instruction you are given. Do not complain. When those around you rebel to against you, then when you're placed in authority and against your words and against your opinions, remember the law of reciprocity, which states what? That if you want to be treated with respect, you must respect others. That includes those you do not agree with or may even like. Jesus did, and he prayed, Father, I know that respect, authority is taught in your word. So remind me today that my success depends upon my attitude towards those you, God, have placed in leadership over me. As I honor them, I believe you will honor me. I talk with the leaders of the world that he had to deal with. And so me too. Are you qualified to lead? Jeremiah told God in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 7 and verse 8, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. That is verse 6. Sound familiar? Have you been saying, I do not have what it takes? God told Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 7, through 48, he said, don't say I am a youth. For you shall go to all whom I send you. Yes, I, God, send you, Jeremiah. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Don't be afraid. I'm backing you. Sometimes we don't believe that God is backing his leaders in the church. Pathetic, though. Do not be afraid of their faces. He said, for I am with you. Where actors audition for a part, you know, the director conducts what are known as callbacks. I know this only too well. And at that point, the actor either gets the part or it goes to somebody else. But when an actor is experienced and he's well known, sometimes the director offers him or offers her, as the case might be, the part without his or her even auditioning for it. What am I saying? Understand this. God does not do auditions, or he does not do callbacks. That is because he already designed a role for each and every one of us. Why condemn? Why try to put bubbles in different things in people? Please, I beg you, refrain from such. And that's because he already designed a role for you that nobody else could fill. He said, I call you. He didn't say, I call you and Peter, or you and Jane and Susie. He would say, I call you, Jane. Look at Susie. I said, I call you, Susie. You ever think about that? Think about it. Even if others were to study you endlessly, they still could not be you. They didn't make us. I didn't make anybody. And when God says in Exodus chapter 33, verse 12, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me, God. Be careful about responding to another call except the one which comes from God. And since God designed you with the all, I would say, built-in qualifications that you need, you do not have to compromise your convictions or manipulate or drop names or do special favors in order to be moved up. The power is yours, as far as God is concerned. And do not be jealous or intimidated by anybody else. No matter how talented they are, rise to the challenge. God has placed you in that position. Move there. For in God's eyes, there are no contenders. You are it. You are the person he has chosen. You are the only one who can fill the slot. Because why? He created it. But he created it with you in mind. Each of us that he has in mind. And when you feel insecure or unqualified, remind yourself of that and rise to the challenge. When God shines his light on your efforts, little becomes much. Matthew chapter 23, verse 12, and using the Message rendition. If you are content to be yourself, your life will come. Now, since God is the only one who knows when your time will come, you must be prepared. So rise to the challenge. How do we do that? We ask. The word of God answers. Be content with who you are in my sight, God will say. Do not put on any airs. My hand is on you. I will promote you at the right time. First Peter, chapter 5, verse 6 through 7 of the Message. Fellow begotten children of God's family, allow God's Spirit to be our agent, an advanced agency. Do not get ahead of God. Just be faithful to him. And when the time is right, God will shine his spotlight on the next stage and assign you to even a bigger role. And when the moment comes for you to strike confidently in the spotlight and to fulfill the God-given role, try to remember there is no room for self-importance or, for that matter, pretense. This moment calls for stripping away all lesser roles you have acted out and settled for, discovering who you are and what your life is really about, thus depending totally on God to assist you and give you the most authentic and genuine performance of your career unto him. Rise to the challenge. In God's kingdom, center page is not for those who think they have got their act together and deserve public recognition. No. Nor is it limited to those in leadership or in fact the public ministry, wherever you are. It is a call to action. God's action. When you trust God, his timing, he grooms you. And he grooms you for bigger and better parts. So as you rise to the challenge, remember, do not make it on your own. Don't draw back. Remember and recall Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, the labor will be in vain. I want you also to confront your inner critic. We are sometimes really the harshest thing on our own selves. We are all subject to that little voice within that tries to say we are not smart enough. Don't hold on to that. God, however, raises us up. And when he does so, nobody can put you down. So remember and remind to the inner critic of God's eternal promise, as he made back in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 7. You shall go to all whom I send you, wherever I command you, and you shall speak. Stop relying on self and learn always to rely on God, as 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. But as a result, you know, we stop relying on self, and what we need to do is to rely then on God. So rise to the challenge with the understanding that God stays with the imperfect people. and making them perfect. And so I close with Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Be you therefore perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. Let us rise to the challenge.